Well, good morning, Morro Bay. Today is Thursday, August 17th, and I'd like to call to order the monthly meeting of the Tourism Business Improvement District. It is 9:01 a.m., and I will establish a quorum of our board members present here today. From my right to my left, we have Stephen Allen, Charlie Yates, Maggie Jurin, Taylor Newton, and myself, Aaron Graves. So we have a nice quorum. I'd like to open the microphone up now. Prior to doing that, actually, to public comment, I have a couple of brief announcements I would like to make. My seat on the TBID board here is that as a representative of hotels 22 rooms or smaller. Until this point, I did own the Pleasant Inn. That closed escrow a couple weeks ago. Brought some really, really outstanding buyers to town, and I do think they'll be very good for Morro Bay. As such, they have retained my services as a contracted management consultant, so they still seem very comfortable with me representing the interests of the Pleasant Inn in Morro Bay. A couple other brief announcements. Our esteemed Director of Tourism, Jennifer Little, her father will be going into surgery here in about 90 minutes. She is a trooper. She's here with us today rather than with him. I know she loves him very much. We had a good conversation about that. So for any of you that like to send any spiritual good wishes her father's way, that would always be appreciated. And lastly, please do not consider me rude, but I do have to leave here at 10:15 sharp today, so I will step away. I will pass on the gavel to my colleague Charlie Yates, who will finish off the meeting for us. Now we've concluded that housekeeping business. Can I open the microphone up to any public comment?
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
My name is Joan Solu, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I also am a business owner. I own 456 Embarcadero Inn and Suites. Good to see all of you. Thank you for coming in today. What I'd like to talk to you about today is the sign ordinance. It's actually not on your agenda, so this is a great time to talk to you about it. The sign ordinance is coming up on a workshop next Thursday, the 24th, and I'd like to see, I'd like to have this board request a review of the hotel portion of that sign prior to it being inked by the city council. I've looked over the sign ordinance. The staff and the community did a great job putting together a new sign ordinance. We have to remember that the last time this was really looked at hard, I was 6 years old. I think that says a lot because I just had a birthday this week.
So. 20 years ago?
I'm sorry? I'm 50 this year, so yeah, it's great. I don't care. I think everybody should tell each other their age. I don't care. So anyways, back to the sign ordinance. I think it was great work by the community. I think you should be reviewing it. There are some areas of concern in terms of the hotel ordinance. One of them is there are no mechanical changing signs. You'll note that a lot of us have what is considered, and a sign that is not even addressed in the entire ordinance is a monument marquee sign. So that's a combination of a monument sign, which looks like a tombstone. So imagine the Days Inn sign up on the corner. It's kind of, you know, how you would picture a tombstone, a monument. And then it has a marquee board. And what's so important about that marquee board is that it has changing text on it. And that changing text does things like support what this board is doing. Welcome, Cruising Morro Bay Car Show. Welcome, Amgen. Today, I got a very important text from Jennifer Little. We are hosting a travel writer today, and she asked me to welcome him on my changeable marquee monument sign. I would not be able to do that under the sign ordinance that's coming forward. And additionally, there's no marquee signs at all allowed on the Embarcadero, which for me is a big deal, right? Further, one of the areas of concern is that the two most important words in hotel marketing are not even addressed, and that is vacancy and no vacancy. In many areas, you cannot have neon, and as you know, the word no in neon is a standard bearer for our industry. So I'd like to see you address that. The other area of concern is I'm not sure what time you get tired when you're traveling, but for me, it's sometime after 9 p.m. For my husband, it's a little earlier. We have kind of, you know, opposite clocks. But the signs, illuminated signs, must be shut off by 10 p.m. 10 p.m. I'm not sure, again, what time you get tired and you're looking for lodging, but in a city that is so revenue-driven by tourism, this seems counterintuitive to me. So I'd like you to take a look at that. And then The other thing that is not addressed at all is rate. None of you were here 20 years ago when a rate went up on the corner of Main Street and Morro Bay Boulevard, and it said $49. And then a rate was posted down the street that said $45.95, and then a rate was posted across the corner that said $39.95, and the rate down here, where the Best Western is now, got all the way down to $29.95. Again, allowing rates to be posted on hospitality industry signs is counterintuitive to revenue production. Please take the time to send a note to City Council and ask them that you be allowed to review the sign ordinance and specifically the hospitality portion of that sign ordinance prior to it being inked. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comment. Is there any further public comment?
My name is Robert Davis. I live in Morro Bay. And pursuant to Aaron's announcement about the sale of the Pleasant Inn, I want to say that I appreciate that Chairman Graves is still on the board, and I appreciate your leadership very much. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much so.
Good morning. Judy Salamaka, Maritime Museum of Morro Bay. But I just would like to echo what Joan said about the greetings. The greetings, she's a neighbor of mine, live in Morro Bay, and obviously, and we love to see the signs. They say, congratulations, happy anniversary. We're giving that little bit of extra to the people that are coming in and visiting, and that's golden. So, but today I wanted to give you an update on the Maritime Museum and where we are at this point. And then later on, I'd like to address the grant proposal that we gave. 22 years ago, our museum was but a dream. And 4 years ago, it was a submarine photo magnet sitting in a parking lot. And then in 2015, the museum became a someday opportunity, probability, when the city of Morro Bay dedicated a permanent address at 1210 Embarcadero. But the board needed to raise the mega funds in order to build a building. We went through the due diligence of designing, and by 2016, we had a big break. And that was that the Maritime Museum secured the inaugural tour of the San Salvador, not just one weekend, but over two weekends, and during the week. And we rallied the community to embrace the visiting Spanish galleon and to support a Maritime Museum concept, a project. So the awareness campaign was huge. More than 100 volunteers greeted and toured over 10,000 visitors and school groups during that time. San Diego Maritime Museum is one of the few tall ship owners that share revenue. And they shared 50-50 revenue with us during that time in order to help us build the building. And 43 local individuals and organizations invested $1,542 each as charter members to fund the campaign for construction. We went to the community and promised that if we had the funds, we would build the building in 2017-2018. And I'm here to tell you today that, as promised, the Maritime Museum of Morro Bay is currently in the pre-construction phase with the building department, and we are ready, we hope, pending building department construction plans review, to build this fall. That is a small first building, the first phase building. We, with your help and the community's help, we've generated the funds to build the first phase of the museum, but we still need to raise operational funds and the funds to complete the interior displays. And until the displays are installed, We will not have the tourism draw, the economic development opportunity we all desire in Morro Bay. We do have a proposal into you, and I would like to address that at the time that it comes to the body. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was very eloquent. Is there any further public comment?
My name is Martin Lamelli. I'm also a resident of Morro Bay, and I just want to introduce myself as your interim city manager. I know how important tourism is to our community and to the city's budget, so I'm here today just to observe your hard work and to take notes and pass on this observation, this information, to the permanent city manager, which I hope will be hired in October or November. Thank you.
Outstanding. And thank you for helping to give the ship direction in the meantime until we secure our long-term replacement. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll close that session. And we do have a consent agenda item here, but I would like to actually push past that briefly to recognize a photo contest scholarship winner. I believe that she's present with us here today. And some of these, hi Amber, some of these consent agenda items can be brief. They can also take a bit of time, so we didn't want to hold her over for too long. So our goal right now would be to everybody come to the podium, take a picture with Amber here, and present her the check. So board, let's all gather. Jen, where would you like to see us?
Good morning, sir. Very well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job.
There's the check if you guys want to show it.
Money?
Yeah.
You mean give her the money, or do you want her to hold the money?
You need to make an announcement.
All right.
Did you want to do your talking points?
Or?
Yeah, exactly.
But we needed. Actually, didn't think this through, did we? Should I use this microphone here? Jen, shall I use this mic here?
Yeah.
Where do you feel comfortable? You are in the center.
Is the mic on? Okay.
Butter, real quick.
Butter, sure. I guess everybody's ready.
Okay, I'm
going to
video you talking,
Aaron,
so go ahead.
All right. So, a little awkward, but we'll make this work. Brief background. We're in tourism, and we can speak until we're blue in the face, but a picture does say 1,000 words for us. It's very efficient, and so we thought as a group it would be fun to put forth a action and adventure photo contest to put out to the college community. So as such, our criteria was very simple. We wanted a picture that represented action and adventure in the city limits of Morro Bay. And our contestant entrance could be anybody. We did not care about GPA background status. We were going for pure artistic quality. This person, all they needed to do was be enrolled in college in the fall of 2017. So we took this out to the greater community. And then the winner here by overwhelming votes is Amber Jansen. Now, it was part of our tourism constituents that voted on this. We also broadcast her image through Hootsuite, a lot of social media, to try to get a very wide swath of opinions. Amber just graduated high school from our Morro Bay High a few months ago, and she'll be attending Cuesta College. Amber, when does Cuesta start? Is that now?
Monday.
First day of college. I do remember that. It was a while ago, but congratulations. So, then the scholarship fund here is for $1,000. For her artistic eye and efforts. And this is the first annual, so next year we'll be doing the same thing, March and April, a two-month window for anybody to apply as long as they meet that basic criteria. So we will present the check to Amber right now, and maybe next year we'll even have one of those giant Publishers Clearinghouse-style checks. In the meantime, just zoom in on it.
All right. There you go.
Yay. Right on.
Right. Thank you.
Good job.
All right, now down to business. We compressed items here. A 1 through 4 to a consent agenda item, but not to rush the process at all. So effectively, we are looking, we'll take these one at a time and open them up to public comment, but we are looking to relatively briefly go through this. It's kind of more of a housekeeping issue for us. Item A1 on the consent agenda, we will be looking for approval of our June 22nd Tourism Business Improvement District special meeting session. I know as a board we all reviewed those meeting minutes diligently. Do we have any discussion on those meeting minutes? None. Do we have any public comment on those meeting minutes? Okay. Seeing none, we'll be looking for a motion to approve those meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Got a second here.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstentions?
Abstention because I wasn't here.
Thought that'd be the case. All right. Motion passes. We will approve those minutes. 4-0-1. Next item, A2. The June 2017 Marketing Public Relations Update from our Tourism Manager. We all received these via email. Do we have any discussion, board, on the marketing report? Seeing no discussion, we can open it up to public comment. Item A2, June 2017, Marketing Public Relations. Seeing no public comment on the issue, or do we? A2, we did A1, which is approval of the minutes. A2 is the Marketing and Public Relations Report. Seeing no public comment, we'll move to a vote to receive and file. Actually, excuse me. These last three here, we do not need to vote, do we? All right. So receive and file. Moving on. A3. Receive and file of the July 2017 Marketing and Public Relations Update from our Tourism Manager. Board, I know we all reviewed it, of course. Any discussion? Comments? Public comment, item A3. Seeing no public comments, we will receive and file and move on. Last item, A4, the marketing plan for the 2017 and 18 update by our Tourism Manager. I know we've covered this at the last several meetings. Board, is there any discussion we'd like to have about that?
Not for me.
Seeing no discussion from the board, we'll open it up to any public comment. Seeing no public comment, we move on to the first business item, which we've already concluded, presentation to Amber for her scholarship. Great photo again, Amber. Thank you. Item B2, the May 2017 TOT report as filed by our tourism manager, Jennifer Little. She stepped away. I can make a couple of comments about that in the meantime. May 2017. So technically our RevPAR is up by $2 year over year when we compare the previous May. However, if we look a little deeper at these numbers here, we discover that our ADR was flat for the first time as we move into our summer month season, which is definitely, I consider that to be not great. Of course, we want to see all of our numbers increasing. Our occupancy was up by 1%. In 2016, we were at 63%. In May of 17, we did 64%. So a very, very modest increase. We do realize that all cycles ebb and flow, and we're always waiting to see where we're at the top of that wavelength. Something I'd like to point out as well, and I'll point that as this out for the June numbers as well as May, that our neighbors to the north in this report, you will notice North Coast, as well as Cambria, they are absolutely on the decline. Highway 1 is having a very detrimental effect up there, and it's hard on a lot of our neighbors to the north. I know sometimes we feel like independent communities from one another, but realistically, our guests do not care about the geopolitical boundaries on Morro Bay versus Cayucas versus Cambria. They're coming here frequently for the Central Coast. So something I would really like to encourage everyone out there is to support our neighbors to the north. If you have the day off and you want to do something, go antiquing in Cambria. Maybe go have lunch up at the Ragged Point restaurant and really help them out. They're having an extraordinarily rough time. They're good businesses in a great location, but with a Hybo 1 closure, they're not seeing the guests. San Simeon technically was 20% down year over year for summer, and most of the state is up. And in some hotels, I'm seeing 35 to 50% down on a year over year. And so those communities do need our help. So this is, I know the likelihood we may want to take a little staycation and just go up there and stay in a hotel. At least let's go support our restaurants and shops. The actual village of Cambria this summer has lost 7 retail businesses in the village. And we're not even through with summer yet. So it's been about every 10 days a business has gone under up there. And those businesses we can absolutely support as our neighbors. So I'll get off my soapbox, but it's a very important thing for all of us to do, to stick together and, we'll push through this. It just takes a little bit of time.
And just to expand on that a little bit, Aaron, looking at all the, you know, communities to our north, they are all significantly down.
Yeah.
We were down a little bit, but nothing compared to what the other ones were. The big difference between what we did and they did in May was Amgen. You know, we filled some really good rooms for 2 nights, and that's really the only difference between what we were doing and they were doing. So I think it made a good difference for us. It was a good investment.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely was.
Yeah. You want to go over June, too? Let's talk about
June. We're in here in the TOT. And, of course, board, interject any thoughts you may have from, I know they are technically listed as 2 different items on here, but May and June, it kind of flows continuously from one to the other. Jen, so your thoughts then on May? Of course, we did have the boost from Amgen. That was great exposure and a good investment at both the county and the city level for us.
Right. So, you know, we were fairly flat in May, but compared to where everybody else is, I'm really thrilled that we didn't have this huge decrease that everybody else was seeing, because we definitely are feeling the effect of Highway 1 being closed. So I think our strong marketing, you know, us moving our dollars, you know, south, and I think all of that has really played into us keeping that balance during these really difficult months. So I'm thrilled with being balanced. Is that terrible? But, I mean, you know, it's just a really difficult time of year with that road closure. And looking at June, if you look at the June numbers, same thing. Cambria is down several points. Pismo, which is to the south, but even they were down 1 point. Mm-hmm. San Simeon is down almost 10 points. That's a lot. Occupancy rate, that's a big change for them. So our rate, not too bad. Our ADR was up. We were $141 over last year's $136. Our occupancy was up or down 1%, but our RevPAR was up to $104 over $102. So I like seeing that number growing. And hopefully Highway 1 will be open soon. I know that Caltrans is working really hard on it. So we just have to keep pushing where we are. We're, you know, spending huge dollars south, and we'll keep it up, because obviously it's knocking down those numbers compared to what everybody else is doing. Right. So I think we're on the right track.
And when we I'm sorry, Stephen, you had a thought?
Jen, did Caltrans give you an estimate when it might be open?
No, but I will ask. Chief Knuckles handles those type of things for the city. I will talk with him and get an update out for all of you, okay?
And that discussion we just had actually yesterday, again briefly, at a county level. So there's multiple scenarios they're going through. Of course, with the slide of California growing by 5 acres, that's tremendous. That we all know they're going to be building some sort of a bypass over the hill there. There was some very light conversation about possibly even open a one-way road in the meantime. They could carve into the side of the hill depending on its stability. That could happen in a matter of months, if not year, as opposed to years for the entire bypass. They're not willing to commit to that. But I think our job is to keep beating the drum and let them know that there's an economic impact tremendous on the region, and it's not just a road closure. So other thoughts here in the June TOT report. We do see, yes, ADR is up, but occupancy is actually starting to decline for the city in June. And we like to push our ADR when we can, but first you need to have a solid occupancy. You can't just drive rate endlessly unless you have some compression in there. And now that our occupancy is starting to compromise a little bit, we're going to have to see the hotels will have to start softening their rate to keep their occupancy numbers from plummeting. So it's something to keep an eye on. And, of course, I'd like to open up to any public comment for either the May or the June TOT reports.
Hi, guys. Hi. Joan Solu, and I own a hotel, 456, and this is my wheelhouse, TOT. Been analyzing these numbers for about 12 years, and I am concerned because we had a larger budget than we've ever had, ever, and almost $1 million spent on marketing, and we barely kept up with inflation. So the recognized inflation by the government is between 3 and 3.5%, and we had about a 3.5% growth after spending $1 million this year. Under the new structure, we were told that we would have about a 10% growth. But in actuality, this is the first time in about 8 years where we haven't seen between an 8 and 10% growth. I understand that we've had an El Nino year, torrential rains, and the closure of Highway 1. But looking at reports yesterday, remember that what you're seeing here, a STAR report, is just a sampling. I would think that this board needs to request an in-depth review of city by city and the county unincorporated area of actual end-of-year TOT reports, place them side by side, and have a true look at what's going on, and then go back to the marketing plan that was just approved and really look at that and ask yourselves, knowing what we know now about revenue, rate, and looking at the entire picture, keeping in inflation, costs, wages, water and sewer increases that are coming down the line, what can we do to drill down and make this marketing work for us under its current structure? I think we've got a capable staff. I don't think it's staff's fault. But yesterday, I was examining a city-by-city report that was provided to me by a third-party booking agent, and San Luis Obispo is actually up 12% year-on-year. Why are they 10 miles away from us with a road closure that's been widely advertised, but they're up 12% in the same El Nino year? These are the questions that this board needs to be asking itself, so that it can push the marketing and tack and change if need be. I am asking you to drill down on that, because 3% and 3.5% growth is zero growth. That's zero growth. That's steady with inflation. That's not even keeping up with hospitality inflation, because our inflation rates are higher. Our inflation rates are about 5%. So we spent $1 million to not meet the mark. And that's really, really important for you guys to recognize. And, you know, if that means we break up into subcommittees and work on task forces and, you know, get a broader scope of what we need, then that's what it is. If that's partnering with other people, San Luis and Avila did a great job of that. They took our market share. Your rates were soft this June and July. I watched as some of you had one-night bookings on Saturday nights and were reducing your rate Friday night to get there. I saw you. It's all on the open market. You can watch my hotel. And that's not good for the community. That doesn't get roads paved. That doesn't get the firefighter down the street. So we need to really be focusing. This is the only board that is responsible for driving revenue in this community. There is no other board that drives revenue. Everybody else spends money. You guys produce it. Don't forget that. The other thing that I'd like to mention to you is you should probably ask staff to come back with a report on where we are in getting the vacation rentals online, because it hasn't... Since you brought it up and voted for it, we haven't really had a full report of where we're at and just the steps that we're taking. Once we get them online and participating, I think you'll see even bigger gains for everyone. So that's a really important piece of your pie. So I would say, you know, side by side, true analysis, city by city. There's a report that's already been produced. You guys need to start analyzing that and tack this marketing, because it's only getting softer as we go into fall and winter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any further public comment on either month's TOT reports? All right, seeing none, we will move on to to item B4, which is a recommendation to city staff and city council for logo updates as we look at enhancing the brand for Morro Bay.
Thank you. So this is a project. I'm going to step back and go through kind of how this came to us and bring everybody up to date since Stephen's new on the board, and it's been almost a year since this originally started. So this originally started with the downtown waterfront strategic plan update that's being done by the Community Development Department, and they've hired Michael Baker International to do this. And part of that charge was to do a new identity that would be seen on all signage and really get a consistency throughout town. If you drive around Morro Bay right now, you'll see several different logos and none of them really match. So that was their charge. And they've been working on this for almost a year. Back in August is when they did the initial logos. And those logos were brought to some open forum groups that they had. And we had a board, which I put up on the screen there and shows you. We let citizens come in and they voted for the different logos and what they liked and what taglines they liked. And one of the big questions from the community was, why isn't Discover Morro Bay an option on there? So we added it. You can't really see it's handwritten, but we added it and also let people vote on that at that meeting. And then from there it came to TBID, and we had it here for public review as well. And I know a lot of the discussions from a TBID side was, why are we redoing our logo? We didn't ask to have our logo redone. Why is this happening? And so we heard that. You know, we understood you guys had a concern about that. My concern was from the standpoint of those logos, showing those to the community is great, but how does that affect tourism? And so I asked to have it go to a focus group down in LA, and let's review from a tourism side, how is it going to affect us? If we totally depart and do a new logo, what are people going to think of it? And so we put out those two logos plus our existing one and with Discover Your Better Nature as a tag, all three tags. And it came back overwhelmingly that they liked Put Life on Coast as a new positioning statement. They felt it had more the feel of kind of a relaxed point of view. And I think coming out of L.A., that makes sense because it's so chaotic there. They probably want to get out. And then it went back to city executive staff, and city executive staff's concern was listening to what, you know, TBID said as far as why are we moving completely away from our logo. And so that's where we got to this point that we are now at, which is instead of departing from a logo, maybe it just needs an update, kind of freshen it up, you know, clean up the lines, make it look a little more current, and not completely depart from it. So executive city staff hired a local artist, John O'Brien. He lives here in Morro Bay. He's very, very good. He's got great talent behind him, and they hired him to come in and do this logo update. So this is kind of where we are now on it. Is I think they've completely set aside moving away from our logo completely, and let's look at just updating the concept. So what's happening from here is they're looking for you to say, yes, we like it, no, we don't like it, give some sort of a direction to city council on where you'd like to see this go. So I'm going to go through John's concepts and kind of show you guys what his theory was. So he basically took our existing logo and just made it a little smaller. My concern was our current logo is really long, and let's kind of square it up a little bit, which I like. And then he did two options, either a square or the one on the right has a rounded corner option. And that's really the only difference between his two overall concepts. I think it's kind of nice. There it is in a grayscale is the only difference there, showing how it would relate on just a one-color grayscale. And then there it is showing Put Life on Coast with the current, I think that's the current font that we are using for Morro Bay, showing how it sizes down, still really readable. The Morro Bay is still very readable when it gets real small, which is very important. And then he did some color options. So he did several different color choices. My recommendation to you would be, let's take some of these out before it goes to council. From a design standpoint, I don't think we should ever look at a logo with a gradation in it. I think that's a bad way to look at a design because you don't know how it's going to reduce down. So the ones where the middle one, B, has a gradation in it, I would take that one out and just do the flat tones to show city council and see if they like where it's going from there. And actually, the rock is not purple. I think that's just the screen that's showing it purple. It's actually a deep blue.
which actually, Jen, that helps to illustrate my thoughts in reviewing these, is that color can vary vastly depending on monitor, mm-hmm. print quality, and so forth. And I'm always apprehensive to engage most any colors unless they are very simple RGB use. So just a thought for all of us here.
Totally agree. It should be approved in black and white.
Absolutely.
Absolutely agree. So this is a four-color option that he did just so we can see how it would look, bringing in a yellow and an orange for the sky and the sun. Whoops. And then, you know, some more gradations. The top two have gradations. I would take them out. And then the bottom one is more like a night. I think the day is stronger for us. You know, when you get too many blues in there, you know, it looks too cold for Morro Bay. Morro Bay is already thought of as cold. We want to try to warm it up a little bit. So I would tend more towards having the sun and not so dark of a blue background for the sky. And there's how it looks in color. It's nice, isn't it? Looks really nice. Against black, still holds up really well. There is with the white key line on it. And again, just reducing down, showing you how the readability is when you get it small. And with the key line. What do you guys think?
I think it looks fine.
I like, my personal favorite when I was going through them before was the one with the yellow, the really bright, because again, to your point, warmer. My personal opinion is that was my favorite. That one. With the gold sun. I actually like the square edges versus the round, I think. Looks sharper to me. Yeah, my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with Maggie somewhat. F with the rounded corners is my favorite.
And granted, design is not my strong suit,
yeah.
But it appears you've done quite a bit of research, so I'll trust you know, whatever your recommendation is.
So... Really, Jen, what is your objective from us? Are you looking for, I mean, they're pretty, but are you looking for us to give
you
like an official...
You agree to move the logo forward with the change from a tourism side or not is all you have to tell me. Just take a vote on, yes, let's move forward.
Yeah, are we looking for...
I say move it forward.
You wanted to, your suggestion of removing the ones with the gradations, that sounded wise.
Absolutely.
And everything you said sounded great, Jen. I mean... How do you want me to make the motion?
Yeah.
Move forward.
Just continue the process.
Do it.
Because I'm a little gray on what
you're doing. Great job.
So if you go back to my staff report, there's a recommendation you can just read if you want. It just says we've approved, we agree to update the logo recommended to City Council for future approval as appropriate with conjunction of Put Life on Coast.
Okay. Right. I think... I mean, we are tourism professionals here, but this also represents our greater community. Can we open this up to public comment, get a little bit of feedback? I think that'd be a great idea. Is there any public comment on the logos? I know we have a confirmed artist out here in the audience who just made $1,000, and as well as other constituents of the community. Anybody like to give us some feedback?
Hi, it's Joan Solu, and I'm super glad to see this coming before you. Because I didn't want to see it swing by you and not have tourism involved. 10 years ago, there were about 15 different logos and different taglines out there. We ended up with Discover, which was my personal non-favorite. I don't mind Discover Your Better Nature, but going to Discover, I always felt like we were advertising for Discover cards, and they already have enough money.
And their interchange rates are way too high.
Excuse me?
And their interchange rates are way too high. I know.
Well, I know. We should have those rates. For me, I'm glad that Jennifer mentioned to you not to do gradient. Gradient is also extremely expensive in printing and any kind of print work that you do. It's going to be really expensive to do any kind of gradient. I'm not sure what you're going to end up with. I think they all look great. I prefer the blue, actually, over the yellow. But that's just me because I've seen us go with the yellow logo before, and I've seen it not stand up to the deep colors that other county logos use in their branding, and it kind of disappears when they're all flushed together in a sponsorship mode where they're all kind of bundled together. So I like to see us use a deep color that's going to pop against whatever background it is. That's my personal deal. But that's a design deal, and it's up to you. The other thing I would say to you is if we're going to move towards a new slogan like Put Life on Coast and a new logo, my recommendation to you would be to recommend to the city council that they lock into that mode for 10 years. Why am I saying that to you? Because we've changed it in the last 10 years about 5 times. And it's very expensive to do. It's awful to try and get people to recognize all of those changes that you're still consistently the same location. So there's going to be an impact to this rollout from a tourism side. And that's something else you'll have to assess. What is your rollout, your time frame? You have a very capable staff who can show you what that impact is going to be. But the most important thing is that you lock in for 10 years. Think about this. Vegas spent millions and millions of dollars on this tagline. What happens in Vegas? It took 10 years and a Super Bowl ad for the general public in America to pick up on that. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment?
I think Joan makes a really good point that I think we'll do a board when it goes to city council with all of the other city logos on it, with the one that we all agree on, and let's just so they can see how it holds up. I think it'll be good, but I think it's a really good point to show how our competitors look with us.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had changed that much in the last 10 years, and branding is a very difficult thing to do. It takes years for it to take root, so changing it, I would agree. If this is a new iteration for us, it needs to maintain for a long time. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Judy Salamaka, Morro Bay resident. I just wanted to comment that I love the concept. And Morro Bay Rotary, with which I'm a member, we're looking at redoing our pins, and we are going back to a pin that I received when I joined Rotary 15 years ago, and it's a very similar concept. I'm wondering if you will license it to other groups so that everybody in Morro Bay has a pin to wear.
It's a nice idea. Paraphernalia and merchandising.
Yeah, it's a city council decision.
Yeah, lovely. Another public comment, please.
David Jansen, father of Amber Jansen, Morro Bay resident. And just my feedback real quick, just the Put Life on Coast at first when it was a little smaller, my eyes aren't great, and I was trying to figure out what is it saying, what does it mean, and the first impression that I had was actually Pot Life on Coast. I thought, what are they saying? So that was just a first impression, just wanted to pass that on. And I did have to think about it to get it, and I get it now, but it wasn't immediately recognizable. And so I would also echo Joan's comment of think real hard before changing that tagline and stick with it for a while.
We know Grover Beach is already cornering that market, so we don't want to compete there. Regarding, and actually to circle back around to this, I know this has been a discussion, it seems like, for quite some time. The research that was done into those taglines, Jen, can you please elaborate again on how we got to that point exactly and the significance of this research group?
I'd be glad to. So the community outreach was great, but for us on a tourism side, it's not people in our community. It's people in LA, in Orange County, in the Valley, in San Francisco, and what do they think? And so we reached out to LA Research, who's a really good company down in LA, and they had a nice range of male, female. We asked for income, household income, all over 100,000. And they voted on the tagline and the logo both. And Put Life on Coast came up at 57% over the other two. So I understand there's a concern about changing the branding tagline. To be honest, I don't really feel like we're using a tagline right now. Discover to me is not really a tagline. It really isn't. So, I mean, I feel like we've just been kind of sitting in this void of not really having a direction from a tourism side.
And we had, I want to say it was about a year ago now, maybe a bit less, a gentleman, Mr. Brooks, who came and gave kind of an educational symposium on tourism, branding of DMOs, destination marketing organizations, and so forth. And I unfortunately missed it, but I did actually watch the YouTube highlights. And I remember distinctly a point that he made when creating taglines and images for your community. A lot of people become, they fall in love with their ideas, and you have to ask yourself the question, could you transfer that image or that slogan to another community, and would it be just as fitting? If that is the case, you're not saying anything. You have to create a slogan and a look that is very specific to your region. Of course, our logo, that's outstanding. It would be silly to use anything other than the rock. That really is profound. Put life on coast. I don't know if that's saying anything specific to us versus any other region. But I know we could be, or pot life.
You know, it sits really well with the county position as well for their new slow life. I think Put Life on Coast fits well with what they're doing. The other thing that Roger Brooks said is never use the word discover. He said discover does not tie to any specific community. Do not ever use it. And that was kind of funny because that's what we use is discover. So that was okay. The one thing that I really took away from his talk.
Okay.
Jen, what is the licensing process with this? Is it copyrighted? Is what happens next?
We definitely would go after getting a trademark on it, for sure.
What about the URL? Is it available?
Put Life on Coast?
Yes.
I don't
things
know.
Like that.
I don't know.
Okay.
Of the group that was used as the data source for this, it was like 45 people or 55 people or something? Like 15 males and 35 females?
50, looks like, Taylor.
Right. And so 50% chose what we're looking at. And then your other two options, one of them was closer to our old one, Discover. What percentage was that one? I mean, 57% is, I don't know, like the
other two split fairly evenly, 25, a little under 20% each, yeah.
Okay. So to move this item forward, actually, excuse me, Board, do we have any further discussion, thoughts, questions? And to clarify then, Jen, are you looking for a consensus amongst the board on exactly, I mean, the logo is getting pretty fixed at this point. The tagline is relatively fixed. You're looking for gradient, non-gradient, what color scheme?
Just a recommendation
rounded
to
corners or square.
Take it to city council with your, that you agree to look at a new logo and tagline. You do not recommend using a gradient in the final logo colors.
Okay. And I would probably also echo Ms. Solu's thoughts about council considering, or excuse me, highly recommending that they lock this in for a 10-year span. Give us time to really work this. And that's an outstanding idea. Are we ready to make a motion, Board? Taylor, I hear you're chomping at the bit.
I am. Yeah, I agree. I make a motion to do exactly what Jennifer said. Let's see. How did I phrase that? Let's see. You want to say recommend the Tourism Improvement Board select one of the... Okay. So we approve it. Moving forward, we recommend the City Council... Take a good look at this without the gradient schemes. What's that?
And that they'll agree to use it for 10 years.
Well,
yeah, and that we recommend that you not change it for 10 years because it takes that amount of time for this stuff to really work. I mean, what's the point of doing it? Hopefully the council doesn't drastically change in that 10 years and do whatever they want.
That was a motion. Do we have a second on the motion? Yes, are we? Excuse me? But Taylor was refining to remove any gradients from it, and as far as colors, we kind of heard split amongst the board. Do you want us to recommend a specific color palette? Okay. Okay.
I think you should leave it open and not recommend a specific color.
But a question on that, who will determine the final logo?
City Council.
City Council.
Okay.
All right. Taylor, did you want to... Lori, excuse me. Are you clear with his motion? Should he restate it?
Okay.
You got it? Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 No opposed, no abstention. Motion passes unanimous. All right. Next item on the agenda, B5. This is a review of the event planner proposals for the Light a Boat Parade and the 12 Days of Christmas. Jennifer, would you like to start us off with some background here?
You bet. So we sent out an RFP. We posted it online on the city website as well as the city Facebook page requesting requests for proposals from event planners. And we received three back that applied for both events, both the Lighted Boat Parade and 12 Days of Christmas. And so I asked all of them to come here today, and I would like to allow each one of them to come up for a maximum of 5 minutes to tell us about their business, about themselves and their background. And then if you'd like to ask questions, I think that would be great. Some of the things that I wanted to point out is we have one group that is not a county-based group. They're in down south, and so I would think we need to talk about that. It's a very short timeline on these events. You know, they're literally three months away. And so how would that affect us if we had somebody that was out of the county, and how do we make that work on a quick turn, you know, because that's a lot of driving. So that's probably the only concern I have out of the three proposals is that distance.
All right. Thank you very much. Do we have all three of the groups here in the audience right now? Actually, let's just take this off. We'll do a roll call here. What about, forgive me if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly, Saifu? Saifu. Okay, so we have Saifu here. Do we have CJN Event Planning? We have as well. And do we have D Plum here? We do. Excellent. Okay. So we will just start, I think, in the order that the packet was sent out to the public in. The first one on the agenda within the packet would be CJN Event Planning Proposals. If you would like to come up here and just tell us about your thoughts on this and what you plan to do for the city.
Good morning. My name is Jamie Newtall, and I own and operate CJN Event Planning. We're based in Atascadero, and my husband and I started the business back in 2008. We both work together. We also have a mobile bartending business that we also operate. Both of the offices are located in Atascadero. Some of my experience with events, currently right now I'm in the midst of planning the Central Coast Classic Bike Event, which is down in Aurora Grande. That is to benefit Wilshire and also Slow Leaf. Also, right now I'm working with the Boys and Girls Club in North County for their annual fundraiser event. It's a dinner event in we're having at the Spring Hill in Atascadero. There's going to be a live auction, silent auction. This is my second year putting on this event for them. And 2 years ago, I had the privilege of working with Sean Farmer with the Kite Festival in Morro Bay. I really enjoyed working on that event with him. However, there was no funding for me to help him in the past this past year. So I was excited to put together the proposal for these two events. I've appreciated the updates I've received, just kind of the planning process. And as you said, there's about 3 months to go. So I know there's lots of work to be done, lots of brainstorming and planning to go ahead and get everything together to get those events prepared for the month of December.
And thank you very much, Jamie. Of course, Taylor. Let's engage all of our applicants here as much as possible.
Any questions?
Of course. And just to be clear, I think our goal here, given the short timeline, whoever we do choose, we do not want to put them under the gun any more than they already are. This is a very short timeline, so our goal today is to make a decision. Okay. Taylor.
Hi.
Hi.
You and I worked on Central Coast together.
Did. Yes, we did.
Yeah, I remember. That was, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, great. Board, any further questions?
Well, just in general, it's hard to know, and I realize you can't go into that much detail.
Sure.
But I looked at, you know, your activities that you had planned month by month. But you, for instance, you say begin to secure sponsorships for events. And so can you give us any more detail about some ideas you have about how you would go about doing that, just a little bit more information that than what we see on the paper?
Sure. With both of the events that I'm currently working on, we just finished collecting sponsorships. And what I found is most effective is to put together a packet that can be sent via email to business owners, also taken in and presented to them. And that way they have something to hold on to present to their boards, their committees, whatever they might need. I find that that's helpful then to follow up with a phone call or an in-person visit to follow up on that sponsorship packet. It can be time-consuming, and I think that's why I put it right in the forefront of everything to do, because if you want to have additional funding or you need funding, you need to know that their support is there.
Yeah.
Good question, Maggie. Any questions down here?
This might be directed more towards Jen, but what is the general expectation if the sponsorship is approved in terms of sharing information about attendance, you know, maybe attendance in future years if the event is a success, just so we have a benchmark to compare against?
So both of these events have grants, and that is part of their grant requirement. One is by Rotary, and one is by Friends of Harbor. So they will do attendance, and that's part of their follow-up on their grant. They have to give you all that information. So I do have a couple questions, too, for you.
Sure.
So you talk about that you have a team of professionals. I'm wondering, can you explain your team a little bit, how many people it is and what
sure.
that looks like?
We also, majority of our events are weddings, and so I have a staff that I take to weddings with me and also to events. I have an office assistant that works with me part-time, and then also my husband. We do this for a living, and so he's also part of the team. We also can bring in up to, I would say, 8 to 10 people. Like Taylor mentioned, for Saver, we brought in a team of 10 people at times to go ahead and take care of the job. I also have good connections with Cal Poly, where I went to school, so I have connections with the recreation department there to bring in interns if needed, where they get school credit, or also just to fulfill their volunteer hour requirement.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so you mainly do weddings. Tourism events are a little different.
Correct.
They're pretty chaotic. We have a lot of people that come into town for events and big rush of people. And so I know you worked on Saver. Were you working on just a portion of it, or were you the main event planner for that event?
No, I oversaw the pavilion part of that. So it was an area of Sunset Saver, the Central Coast, that was open to the public. It's actually where all of the cities came in and set up their booths and their displays, and then it was open to the public to come in and look at those displays. So I did that event for 3 years.
Okay.
Or that portion of the event, I should say.
I had comment on that. Yeah, from my experience with working her on that of Saver Central Coast, that giant event, that tent is the moneymaker from my point of view. The entire event is about that tent to me, and it needs to be dialed in and at the same time be fun. At the same time, I mean, it's hospitality and tourism all bottled up in a tent, and it was really clean. And even with when we had some troubles, I thought your behavior was excellent.
Thank you, Dave.
And you treated my team just superbly.
Thank you.
And this is going to be a question probably for everybody else presenting, too. The lighted boat parade, for me, in the last few years has been kind of anticlimactic because of the lack of participation of the boats. And I know we're trying to push it to 2 days, the motorized, the non-motorized. And again, asking if you can say a little bit more about what your strategy might be to increase the participation. I think people would be more excited about it if there were more boats to see and better decorated boats and, you know, things like that. So I don't know if you've had a chance to get further down the line with your strategy.
I actually had a question on that because I received an email with an update that it was going to be changed to a Sunday at 11. Is that still kind of what the thinking is?
Let me kind of update them really fast. So so I've been in the middle of a lot of this, Maggie, and we've been meeting with all of the non-motorized retailers, so whether it's kayak, paddleboard, canoe, whatever they are, and we've organized them as a group called Estero Bay Water Sports. And so we've been having meetings, getting them on board to kind of be the overseeing on-water marshals of the non-motorized parade. And their recommendation is to do it Sunday at like 11 a.m. so that families can come down so they can watch the main parade Saturday night, spend the night, and then come participate. They can rent kayaks, so it'll help those retailers as well. They can rent boats, and they can do the non-motorized parade on Sunday. And then the other part of it is that, if you remember from the marketing outline, we've been working with the restaurants to do boats, to sponsor boats. And so we're asking them to do a cruise Friday night of their lighted boats so that there will be some sort of interest in people on the water Friday night. So kind of trying to spread it out. Mm-hmm. So that was the email that I sent back to all three responders on kind of how it's kind of been moving since. Because we have to keep moving forward. I can't wait for them to come on board. So we've been working on that. Same thing with the 12 Days of Christmas. We've been still trying to move forward on that while we're waiting to get this done.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Further questions, board? All right.
I'd just like to echo Taylor. I've several years working that event, and in that tent, it was the star of the show for Saver. Very professionally run, and I just appreciated the work with your staff that I had to.
Thank you.
It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of work.
So, thank you.
So, Charlie, you did work with her directly as well. Oh, outstanding. Okay. All right, board. Is there any further questions, comments?
I have one more question,
yes,
for Jamie.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious why you haven't gone after more tourism events since Saver ended.
Once Saver ended, I kind of went full steam it back into weddings. And so there really wasn't any other opportunities that I saw that popped up besides the Kite Festival. And like I said, there wasn't funding for us to continue to work on that event.
Okay. I comment on that question. For being in the event industry myself, we make twice as much profit on weddings as we do public events.
Mm. I did not know that. All right. Weddings kill it. Okay. Any further questions? All right. Seeing none. Is it Ms. Newtel?
Yes, that's correct.
Newtel. All right. Thank you very much. And we may actually need to circle back around to you, see if you hang out for a little bit.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, of course. All right. So in order of the public packet, the next one up would be Saifu. Forgive me if I'm butchering that. It looks like the principal would be Terry Bayes.
Yes, he's up that right.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Terry Bayes. I am a resident of Aurora Grande, but I had a boat here, and I lived for a while on the water at Morro Bay, so I guess that counts. I have been an event planner for about 30 years. I'm currently the director of the Central Coast Writers Conference. I started the Taste of Pismo. Ran that for 3 years and then gave it back to the chamber. I'm currently doing Taste of Napomo. Believe it or not, there's enough restaurants in Napomo for that to work. We're on our third year there, and so then what I do is I kind of build up the events, give it back to the chamber so they can run it. I do events at Dana Adobe right now, and I do... I'm also a local food critic, and I have a TV show, and so I do a lot of best chef competitions, and so I do that type of things. Before that, I ran the Pismo Beach Clown Festival for 2 years, which is not a big event at all. I happened to had the luck of running it the year that Pismo became a crime scene, and they shut all the freeways down when that guy drove off the freeway. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun event. And prior to that, I've done pretty much everything. I think my very first event was jet ski racing, when jet ski races started back in the 1990s, and it was a big deal, and we did it with on a Indian reservation. So we had to go before an Indian council, and then we had to ask the lake permission. And if the lake said yes, then we got to do our race there. So we actually had to go down to the water, ask the lake, and the lake said yes. So I've been... kind of doing a little bit of everything, and Jennifer and City of Morro Bay has been sponsoring the Central Coast Writers Conference for me, and we are hosting it here at the end of Morro Bay this year, and so that was how I ended up in this soup of Morro Bay. So all of my authors will be housed here in September, and we will be doing a bunch of events here.
Outstanding. Could you just take us through, of course, you have the proposal here. You clearly have thought this through, as have all of you responding to the RFP. Could you just take us through kind of as you envision this process from day one to the climax at the end?
Oh, first I wanted to tell you that Put Life on the Coast is available with GoDaddy right now. How I see it, well, typically what I do is if there is an existing event, I get the whatever business plan or P&L was that, and I start with that. And I treat each event as if it's a small business. And so I build a whole business plan for it, including marketing and where we're going to get, where the money's coming from. Sponsorships is always the first thing we go for. I secured a lot of new sponsors for most of my events. I teach at Cuesta, and the class that I teach there is nonprofit fundraising. So I'm usually pretty good about being able to secure funds from outside of the area by tailoring the event in such a way that it doesn't hurt the integrity of the event, but yet brings people in. So, for example, I get money for PG&E for the Writers Conference because they wanted something that was kid-oriented. So the PG&E sponsors all of our teen writers, and Chevron sponsors all our teacher writers, so we're keeping the act of writing going together. So I kind of tailor things for them. So corporate-wise, it looks very good on their bottom line. You know, when they're going, when PG&E goes to Sacramento, say what we did, the Writers Conference here is one of the crowning achievements that they do. So so we start with sponsorships and then work with getting the community. When we, one of my ideas for, well, for the Clam Festival, one of the problems, issues, was that the businesses didn't like the Clam Festival because they didn't get in more businesses. The hotels did fine, but the small businesses, the streets were shut down, and it was hard for them. So I implemented what was called a wine walk. And so that basically put a winery inside of every single little tiny retail store. And then we did like a passport. And so you'd have to walk into the store. We put the winery at the back, so they'd have to walk all the way in the store, have some cheese, have a sip of wine, get their passport stamped. And so we wound them all through the streets of Pismo Beach. And then there was two places where they could take the passport back, and if it was all filled out, then they won like a two-night stay at a hotel. It's been, they're still doing it. It was received really well. The businesses really liked it. The wineries really liked it. And so I was thinking of something like that for the 12 days of Christmas, some kind of a beer walk, a wine walk, that type of thing.
Great. That is clever, creative, good way to engage all the constituency in the area. Could you just elaborate then on like kind of, so that is sponsorships initially, wine walk, beer walk, engage the community. Could you just kind of play out the entire business plan, you know?
Well, okay, so if we're talking, I mean, so there's certain levels of all sponsorship. So we'd go for corporate ones, although time is really of the essence because most of the corporate money is already spent at this point. So I'm not confident that we could get a lot, but with a year, if you work ahead of time, you'll be fine. And then to put different levels so everybody can participate. So a higher level of participation for the businesses that have more income and something that's smaller. So the smaller businesses could participate and be a part of it and yet not have to outlay of that much cash. So then typically we put the whole thing together and put in the infrastructure of how it works and how everything, it's usually just I use a Google Calendar, a Google Docs that everybody's involved in, and so everybody knows what everybody's task is and when it happens, and then we start implementing and getting the infrastructure if we need, you know, lighting, sound, extra restrooms, that type of things. You know, the wine walk is, if you look at that, it's basically you just have to an ABC license has to be acquired for each of the small businesses that is so you just go in and get a whole bunch of them, and then you have to just add the wineries with the or the breweries with the restaurants. You give them all their, it's just a little pamphlet that we give everybody. It says how it is. Then we build maps and we have two start places so that it's not bottlenecked in one place, and then once a group starts here, a group starts there, and then everybody can go wherever they want. It lasts about 3 hours, and then again, the end point where they can drop off their passports. The only bad thing about this is there are people with open containers walking through the city, so you have to definitely let the police know that we're trying very hard to have this not happen, but it is, as with all crawls, it tends to happen, whether you want it to or not.
So it degrades from a walk to a crawl towards the end. Yes.
Well,
it started as a walk, I heard, and now we're talking about a crawl.
These are called crawls. In big
yes.
cities, they have crawls.
Yeah.
We call them walks.
A bit more civilized.
Yeah.
Board questions?
Yeah, I had a question. Staffing-wise, what do you have in who do you use to help you do all this?
So I have a staff. I have about 4 part-time staff that works for me in all events. Then I have that work with me to build the events. I have about 17 that work with me at the events, and then I have three interns right now. I have one from Cal Poly, or two from Cal Poly, and one from Cuesta.
I'm sorry, how many that work the event with you, you said? 17.
17 that are like my generals.
Okay.
And then I draw from a volunteer base. I use Vandenberg. Vandenberg has the cadets there. They're wonderful as a volunteer base, and they're all these wonderful men that say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and all you have to do is buy them a T-shirt, and they come on a bus, and they'll do anything you want. I had a booth that set up in the wrong place at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and as the sun come up, she was right there, and everybody's like, what are you going to do? Because she was always boiling oil, and the cadets got off the bus, and I said, move her, and they did in 10 minutes. They picked the whole thing up and moved it. So I use them. It's a volunteer base. Everybody at Vandenberg has to do volunteer hours, so they're really wonderful to work with. All they want is a T-shirt and a meal out of the thing. I also work with with Grizzlies for cleanup and setup. And then I work with the Cuesta, whatever department of Cuesta we need, because I have access through the writers' conference through most of the Cuesta departments. So if I need somebody to build something, I go to Word Shop. If I need somebody to video something, I go to the video department.
Outstanding. Board.
Thank you for presenting. Do you have any specific ideas how you can increase participation from the boat owners or operators?
So my idea with the boat owners and operators, I like the romantic idea that it's at night. And I know that one of the challenges was that it was hard to light the non-motorized ones. So my idea, I did a lot of research on it, and there's these lights that you can build. They're kind of Hollywood type of laser beams that you can actually laser beam onto the water, and then you'll be able to see the number on it or whatever the name you can put. You just slip a gel in the light, and this is entry number one, he's blah, 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 and it actually is on the boat. So even through the fog, well, in theory, even through the fog, you'll be able to see who it is paddling by. So my first impression was to have one on Friday night and one on Saturday night, to keep it a Saturday night thing. One of my ideas was to kind of bring the families more into it, is to have an area where kind of a craft-like thing where the kids make paper boats, where we have all the stuff to make paper boats, and then have a big trough that those are strong enough or want to see if it floats. And so that brings something for the families to do besides just stand there and watch. They can go over and do a couple little activities in building boats.
Stephen, also I was going to say we added large cash prizes this year, so we're hoping that will grow our base.
Really creative ideas.
One thing I really liked in your proposal was to make it part of the 12 days of Christmas.
Right.
And really bring that into, to make it not just the lighted boat parade, but it's the lighted boat parade is part of that 12
right.
days. So
that to me
I
just
thought
made
that was
sense.
Really smart.
Okay. I know that. I'm sorry, Maggie, go ahead.
And most important, how do you pronounce your company name?
It's yes. Saifu. Saifu is an African ant. They're the most organized animal on the planet. Okay. My husband's a bug collector and he's trying to get them. They're about this big. The ants are about that big.
Wow.
He's trying to get me one, yeah.
Okay, hence the logo.
There we go. Hence the logo.
Hence the little ant on the logo.
It was like a 2 o'clock in the morning Discovery Channel thing, and I'm like, that's the name of my company, so.
So on occasion, good decisions are made at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'm not sure about that. Everybody keeps trying to get me to change it because I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about butchering it a moment ago.
Okay.
I did notice here, though, reading through that you are now the RFP is for $4,000 for each event, assuming we award it to one organization. Effectively, they have $8,000 pot to draw from. At the end of it, your proposal here, you're noting $6,500 to coordinate these events.
Well, just
is it just
the one? Just the one.
Okay.
The 12 days of Christmas I went a little crazy on.
Okay.
So there's pretty much two components to it. And one is something that is an ongoing reverse Advent calendar. So my idea there is kind of like the walk, but you pick 12 businesses, come on as sponsors for a cash amount of money, and we provide them with a little toy of something that goes with that night. And so, and then we use social media and we use, a map that we make that's both online and something we can hang out. And so it has clues on it. So it becomes like a scavenger hunt. So the first clue was like, okay, let's just use rock. So, we do clues that were specific for the restaurant. So tonight, all day today, you go to this business, and we give a clue for the business. I haven't thought through enough to do that.
It's okay.
But not so hard, but, and give it away. And so then that day, that business is hopefully inundated with people playing the game. So you come in, you get your little aunt, for lack of a better word. You get your aunt. And so it kind of forces people for 12 days to go to 12 different businesses. So there was that element of it. It was kind of just forcing people, and then everybody having some kind of overall discount through the whole thing. And the ones that are participating have a bigger discount the day that they have the little widget to give out. Then the other element of it was to literally have some kind of activity every single night. And that's why it went a little more expensive, because it's literally there'll be something happening. Snow on one night, we did hot chocolate, we did a wine walk, we did a beer walk. It's a lot more work, but completely doable.
Okay. So you anticipate greater compensation for that greater effort?
Correct.
Okay. Board, any further questions? All right. Do you have any last minute comments for us?
I don't think so.
I have a couple questions.
Of course.
So you made a good point about sponsorships. I think that's reasonable. I think from a board standpoint, that might be something we want to consider with whoever you pick, that possibly we want to look at giving them the charge for this year and next year, so that they know when they're already going out after sponsorships, they can also lock those people in for 12 months out. Because like she said, Chevron or PG&E, they've already closed their grants for the year. So that might be a reasonable thing for us to consider looking at on a go forward. I'm curious for you, Terry, you sound like you're very tourism focused for your events. How much of that is your business?
It's all of it. I have a TV show that just brings people here to eat. So
I love that.
Yeah, I get paid to eat. It's kind of a good gig.
The other thing is Terry specifically asked for, I think is it $6,500 for?
Yeah.
Just thinking that through, when Sophia originally did her grant for 12 days of Christmas, she was only looking at promoting the 2 days, the 9th, 10th, if you remember right. And now we're asking an event planner to come in and promote 12 days. So you think about promoting 12 days versus the Lighted Boat Parade, which is just a 2 or 3 day event. It's a reasonable thing to consider, and maybe that is something you want to consider with all three applicants, whoever you pick. We do have that extra funds available through our grants. I think we'll still have a little bit of wiggle room in there that we could do that. So that's all I had.
Very good thoughts. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Terry.
Yes, thank you very much.
You.
If you'd mind hanging out a little bit here, we'll go through the last candidate and try to come up with a conclusion shortly.
Okay. Let's
thank
try
you.
To get this done before you leave if we
Yes,
can.
That's my goal as well.
Okay.
All right. Last in the public agenda packet is D. Plum Consulting. Miss Plum, good morning. Miss Plum, I take it?
It is. Thank you.
Welcome to Morro Bay.
Thank you so much. I'm not a stranger here.
Okay.
I was actually on the news, live morning news reporter, KSBY, about maybe 100 pounds lighter, a few years before. But
okay.
Yeah.
What were you on the news for at that point?
I was a live morning news reporter. So
you were?
Yeah. So every morning I did a live report anywhere, everywhere, rain, sleet, or snow.
KSBY?
KSBY.
How long did you do that for?
I was there for 1.5 years.
Okay.
And then I went to Bakersfield to be their news director for KUZZ radio station.
That's a decent tenure.
Yeah.
All right. Probably like the other candidates, if you just want to talk us through your vision for this, how you plan to execute
it. Absolutely. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what I do. I don't consider myself a planner. I consider myself a producer. So what that means is the psychology of an event. Where were you last year in terms of the 2-day Lighted Boat? And what I typically do with clients, I sit down with them. really pick their brain in terms of the vision, and then they send me away and I put it all together. I've raised over $8 million over the past 10 years. Fundraising is what I do. I'm a professional beggar. You're looking at me like, what? It's true. Look at my website. Talk to my clients. But, you know, the reason why is because a lot of times my clients come to me, they don't have a budget per se, or perhaps their vision is bigger than their budget. So then if I need to fulfill their goals, I have to raise the money to do that. Of course, the other two ladies talked about the process, which I completely agree with. But I think it's a little bit more. The reason why I say that I'm a producer is because I look at the marketing and the PR as well as the event planning concept. And you could tell from my proposal that what I do actually does produce results. It's the whole look. So when I went to your Facebook page, obviously I'm from LA, but that doesn't mean anything because I've lived here, right? I know the people, I know the area, but also I come to, back to you as a tourist. So what are you looking for? This morning you talked a little bit about getting more people to your area. What will it take? That's also what I do when I produce events. What will it take to get people? It's more than the excitement. It's the exposure, because if people don't know about it, they won't participate in it, right? So I went to your Facebook page where you posted your proposal. No one was commenting. Very few likes, I think about maybe 500 likes. This is a pretty big town. So what I do when I work with companies or clients, I build that exposure as I'm building the event. I get the community involved so they get excited to actually come. Now, because tourism is really important for you, it's also important for families, not just adults. So your events will have the potential to bring everyone from out of the city as well. I look long term. So it's not just, oh, there's an event in 2 months. What do? I don't think like that. I think, oh, there's an event in 2 months to introduce to the area, outside of the area, get people here, just like the lighted boat parades in Laguna Niguel or even, you know, everywhere. There's an excitement there. People are talking about it for months in advance, even boat owners and little kids. They want to be a part of it. So I put those concepts together, present it to you. Once you say, I love it, or let's make these changes, then I run with it. I have a complete team that I work with who know my style, which means I work fast in order to produce results. I keep you informed. I communicate with you all the time. While I'm a producer, I always seek approval. Are you okay with this? I'm also a budget person, which means I put together the budget to get the approval for you. I don't spend money that I don't need to, because I think that's important as well for long-term consistency. I can talk forever. Do you have any questions?
You said you referenced your team. The others had a chance. How large is your team? What ratios do you use of paid staff versus volunteers and so forth?
Sure, absolutely. Now, one thing you should know, I do events across the country. I've even done events overseas. So what that means is I do have a hardcore team of 5 people who work with me on a daily basis. And you'll meet them should I get this job. I also work with local people. So I hire the volunteers. I hire local people. I pay them minimum wage or whatever it's a going rate for that area, which I think is important too. A lot of times volunteers, it's a psychology. I do have volunteers who do the quote unquote heavy lifting, but also I train people so the day of the event, they know what's expected of them more than just perhaps standing around on their cell phone because their job is done. You know, so they're all representing DPLUMP Consulting.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Board, questions?
I thought you were very well spoken, and
thank you.
Your presentation was excellent.
I actually have tonsillitis right now, so it's killing me to talk.
No, you did very well.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for being a trooper then, and showing up.
Yeah.
So, again, the same question, what would you see as the best, you know, Jennifer threw in the fact that we're putting bigger prizes.
Sure.
But can you talk a little bit more about how you might stimulate participation?
Absolutely.
By the boats?
Yeah.
And also what your opinion is about maybe moving it to the non-motorized to a day parade, as Jennifer said, they're moving toward. What's your opinion about that, and how would you modify your plans based on that?
Sure. So the first of the two questions, what do I feel about the first question was?
About how to stimulate participation from the people actually getting out on the water.
Well, I think that goes back to my earlier statement in terms of promotion. And that's one of the things that my company, D-Plump Consulting, does. In the process of planning, I do market the event. Mm-hmm. And I market in terms of every aspect, as you can see from my proposal. I wanted that to be an example of what's expected. People have to think that the event is worthwhile.
Yeah.
And it comes from the content to the actual look and feel, the aesthetics of the event, what to expect. That also is tied in with sponsorship dollars, too. You know, it's been my experience that, one, for registration or for attendance, for free community events, if people feel like it's going to be just a small something, you know, nothing too crazy, they're going to choose option B, which is probably to go out to dinner or watch a movie or any other excuse to come to it. I think that if we present it in a way where it is large, this is exciting, this is the place to be, I don't know, tomorrow night or this weekend, and then also have fun factoids throughout the planning process in terms of marketing. I would build up those social media sites. I would put up flyers, put up posters, literally go door to door. I did an event in San Luis Obispo a few years ago. And again, I produced it from the ground up. It was just an idea. They said, go for it. And I did. I literally had my team print 1,000 flyers, black and white to save money. And they literally went door to door to door to door with every single business and put those flyers up. We had standing room only. It was not supposed to be a fundraiser, but at the end of the night, we raised over $25,000 because there were so many people there, and they were just motivated by that. But it didn't happen overnight. It happened with marketing, guerrilla marketing, which is that door-to-door exposure. And now that we have the social media, there's actually something to it. You know, it builds exposure. And anything that you put online, well, not only does it stay there, but it grows. So if you're typing in things to do in Morro Bay, ideally that will come up.
Great response. More questions?
I would never guess that you have laryngitis.
I have tonsillitis.
Yeah. Tonsillitis. If you've been around the area for a while, have you attended both of these events in the past?
I have not attended the events, but that doesn't matter. You know why? Because I've looked online, I've done my research before I put together a proposal, and it seemed much. I saw perhaps 2 pages. They were calendar listings. That can be so much more. You know, what about the boaters who participated last year? There weren't a lot, but where are they? You know, let's get them talking about their experience. Maybe this time I can get a camera in front of their face for free, no worries about the funding, and talk about why they participated and why others should too, you know? Maybe have them on camera putting the lights up on their boat, talking about what works, what doesn't work. And we could put that up online, too. You do have a dedicated website for the event. Forgive me for saying this, but it could be so much more. Photos. I was looking for photos to obviously put in my proposal. And there were some beautiful boats, but the photos were blurry. See, what I do is put together the whole concept. So where's the videographers? There was a videographer last year, but he or she was so far away, you couldn't see the lights on the boat. You know, so for me, event planning is just that, every single aspect. Because especially when you're talking about sponsors want to see what was done before. So those photos, those videos, what was done last year, let's see. Okay, how are you going to do this differently this year? Where's my money going? How are you going to showcase me at the event as well? That's what sponsors think.
Very good response. You clearly have done your homework on it. Board, any further questions? All right. Jen, you want to ask her the same question you've asked the other candidates as well? Ratio of DMO experience versus...
Yeah, I'm just curious for tourism events versus local, like weddings, or kind of how that... maps out for you.
Absolutely. So I do weddings maybe one a year, because what I typically do is work with municipalities and national nonprofit organizations. My job pretty much is to bring more attention to their community and also to their cause. I do weddings because I'm a romantic, but it's literally once a year. And it's usually what's considered a platinum wedding, where there's a certain amount of money involved in it, where they ask for my services. Because again, it's a production, but not coordination.
Okay. Excellent.
I'm good.
You're good?
We do have somebody here from Lighted Boat Parade, so I would like Mr. Double D to give his opinion on who he would
be comfortable with. And actually, do you have any further last comments here before we...
I guess the only last comment is it doesn't matter where I'm from. Obviously, I was the first one here this morning with bells on. So I would love to work with you guys. Obviously, it's up to you. And whoever you choose, I'm sure will be the best.
Okay. Cool. Thank you very much. And you actually... Yes, I know. This I have to leave, but this is gripping. This is like being in the middle of a thriller movie and walking out right before the ending. I want to know who the killer is. Let's shove off. Mr. W, would you like to? You're a tremendous part of this event. We appreciate all that you do for the community here, and either one of these three companies here will be effectively representing your baby.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you guys. This is fabulous that you're helping us make this event a much better event. The Rotary Club took over the event about 3 years ago, and there was very little that we had to work with except the little bit of history that we had. We do have the help of Kathy Novak, who has organized the actual parade since the very first year, and we built off of that. It was difficult to put it together with just the Rotary Club's help because we have a limited number of members and it takes a lot of work. So this kind of an approach, I think, is really going to change the event drastically. And we're just excited to see you're doing it. We're supportive of the consultants. All three of them look like they're very qualified. We'll be happy to work with any of them. And other than that, I don't have a lot more to say.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment on the three companies we've heard from so far? All right. Seeing a public comment. Jen, I think since this is a public process, I believe this would be an appropriate question to ask you on camera here. Of course, you've called the references from these three companies. Is there any feedback you got from that outside community on any of them we should know about?
All positive.
All positive?
Yes.
Okay. So there's nothing to weigh that either, one way or the other?
No, there's not.
Okay. Board, do you have any last-minute questions for any of the three candidates? Should we have a brief discussion here? We're looking for consensus and a decision.
Yeah, I'd like to have some discussion.
Of course.
So some of the questions, I mean, I think one of the main ones are, when the main one, the main question is, do we want to select the same person for both events? And my personal opinion is absolutely, because I think we want to try those together. So I just want to see if the rest of the board agrees with that.
Well, actually, let's pause right there. Board thoughts? I tend to personally completely agree. It's clearly this is for one company. Oh. Yes?
Yeah, I thought that and what Jen said about trying to make it more than 1 year.
Right.
Yes, I would agree with that too. And then secondly, the last presenter, Ms. Plump, talked about a lot of promotional stuff. And what I don't quite understand is the relationship between that and what our mental marketing does for us. They will, of course, be out there pushing it. But when they're talking, in fact, all the presenters mentioned that, what does that look like? Are they doing that on top? Do they have different venues? Are they reaching a different clientele than what mental marketing would?
So they have a clear, defined line of what they do, which is all of the marketing, pushing the events very strongly. That's what they did last year, too, with Lighted Boat Parade. 12 Days of Christmas was a little different, but they definitely will step up on that. What we need for an event planner is boots on the ground. We need somebody that knows the retailers here on the Embarcadero and can get in the doors and start moving very, very fast on a daily basis. That's what we really need. I mean, we have 3 months, which is not enough time at absolutely at all. And I totally agree. It has to be the same person for both events for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Agreed. Further discussion, board?
We assume that all three applicants are interested in a 2-year commitment.
Excellent. Good question.
And another question I have is, you know, a couple of the proposals, like one proposed for the 12 days, there being some kind of carnival thing, the crawl that was proposed, the walk around the 12 days and doing something different. I love that concept. But can we assume that the city will support all that? And I realize those are proposals. They may not happen. But if we did decide to try and set up some kind of carnival at one of the parks, is the city going to support that, or are we going to get hung up in?
What do you mean by support, Maggie?
Support as in allow them to do it. You know,
like a permit?
Permits.
Permit-wise?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a problem at all.
All that. We don't. Do we know, or?
It should be a non-issue.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Excellent. Good questions, Taylor. Oh, of course.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment that's really pressing for me in this scheme of event planners. I think event planners have been something we've been talking about in this board and in the city of Morro Bay for a long time. I can, looking at events specifically, I think that the effect that we have seen with the Avocado Margarita Festival shows directly what an event planner can do for an event. That said, for me, being a person who's in the event industry, I know that part of what an event planner does, besides producing this amazing show that's there and then gone, is working with the client. That being said, Morro Bay has a history of who we are and how we are. And working with us can be challenging. And I feel like what I've been searching for in event planners for our community personally, in my job experience, is someone who can work with us, listen to us, and direct us to be civilized, professional, and beautiful. And I know what I want.
That's quite a closing statement. Further questions or comments, board? I'll throw my thoughts out. Since we're looking for conclusions before a vote, my opening, my thoughts, we've heard great presentations from all parties here. Lori, I always want to be very respectful of procedure. Can I just express my opinion at this point to move the discussion forward? Okay, we're just in the discussion phase right now. I think that if I were to rank each of the candidates here, I think that CJN gives a great presentation. I think that Wedding is their bread and butter. They do a good job there, it sounds like. Taylor's had a good experience. But I think that this is probably more of a DMO and an event space. So my personal rankings, I'd probably put them in third place. Moving from there forward, I think that really it comes down to me to Saifu. Please, did I get that right? Okay, thank you. And D. Plum, I think both of you do, it sounds like, and from Jen's research, good experience in the DMO space and event management and so forth. I think that there is a, when I was reviewing these last night, there's a unquestionably going to be a challenging logistics from being from Stevenson Ranch. I did map it. It's 186 miles from her office to here. And I do agree with Jen. This is a boots on the ground. We have 3 months, and we really want this to be a success. If this is a questionable event, then I don't know if we'll have the wherewithal to want to move it to that next level for the following year. I think because of that, I'd probably put D. Plum in second place. And I think Saifu, she kind of has good experience in the DMO destinations, and she's local enough to be able to be here as much as necessary. So that would be my personal ranking and how I would vote. Board, what are our thoughts?
How about the additional funds that were requested?
Oh,
that's the other thing you should.
I think that that's very reasonable. Frankly, also when I was looking at these, given the scope of this, a grand total of $8,000, $4,000 per each event seems rather modest. I think we're asking a lot of any of you out there, so kudos to just showing up, frankly. The extra $6,500, a grand total of $10,500 seems like a very reasonable dollar amount, and I would feel responsible about spending that. So that would be my thoughts. Board?
Sounds like a motion.
Is that a motion?
I just wanted
that wasn't. I'm not allowed to make motions, but
I absolutely concur with your ranking. Mine would have been exactly the same. So.
Okay,
I would agree with that and add that I'm comfortable with a 2-year commitment as well.
Yes, Mr. Yates, thoughts?
I like you all three of you. All three did great presentations.
Yes,
I've worked with two of you, and not with you, Daphne, but I would place the ranking the same.
Motion time?
I disagree with your ranking.
Okay.
And for these reasons, and I want to put them out there. So for me, I would put CJN first, and Terry Bowes second. Specifically for these reasons, I feel like Terry's style is very much what is classic Morro Bay. I've seen that style work and be what we do for so long. CJN is really what I'm looking for Morro Bay, and for these reasons. I've worked with her, with Kyle, who does Avocado Margarita Festival. I've worked with the same group of event coordinators, which is a large group of different event coordinators, with the Whale Rock Reservoir, that's Allie. So I know this group. They're also the same group I work with, Savor the Central Coast. And what I see this group, this style of event coordination, this style of locals, women, is that it's a presentation that works really well with this food, tourism, local pride that I see so important in our event industry and tourism industry. I also have been really pleased with how this style has worked with our community, specifically the Avocado Margarita Festival. I'm confident that she can deliver what we need, and that's who I want.
And that's why we have a board, is for contrast and ideas to be spurred back and forth. So I hear you loud and clear, Taylor. And it's not an easy decision. There are strengths and weaknesses to all parties out there. But we are going to need to, given our limited timeline, we have to make a decision today.
I was just going to make one more comment, please, just so you're aware. We will bring back another RFP for event planners for Kite Festival later on. So there is other opportunities still out there.
That's an excellent point. All right. If we have any further questions or comments, board, we can engage them right now. We could also be looking for a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we select Saifu Terry Bayes as the event coordinator for both the 12 Days of Christmas and the Lighted Boat Parade for this year, and to conditionally award that for next year based on results.
Based on performance.
Performance.
Okay. And given our limited time, we will define performance as this evolves, I think. I think Jennifer will have good metrics to bring back to us.
I'll second that motion.
At the increased amount of
$6,500? Also authorize the increased amount that was proposed in the proposal.
Okay, that was a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No. No.
No. Sorry, it wouldn't go on.
And abstentions? Seeing none. All right. Motion passes 4-1. Sincerely, all three of you out there, thank you very much. Yeah, it takes a lot to come here, give a presentation, prepare everything, and come to the podium. I do, however, absolutely. I'm 20 minutes tardy. I must leave right now. We'll press on. I'll pass off the gavel. Should we take a brief intermission? All right. A brief 5-minute intermission then, AV, and we'll come back at 10:57. Thank you.
And we are back. We are at 10 minutes to 11, and we are back to the agenda. We have just finished B5, and we are moving on to B6, looking for the approval of additional grant applications from the 2017-2018 grant cycle. The recommendation from the Tourism Business Improvement District Board was to approve a grant funding for Grays Harbor Historical Seaport in the amount of $7,000 to bring a tall ship in, and the Central Coast Maritime Museum in a reduced amount of $3,000. Is there a public comment?
Again, Judy Salamaca. I'm the secretary of the board of directors for the Maritime Museum of Morro Bay. I do a little side note. I want to congratulate you on selecting Terry. Terry was my selection to take over for me for the Central Coast Writers Conference, and she has taken it miles beyond where I took it in 5 years. So congratulations. What the Maritime Museum is looking for at this point is partnership, continued partnership with the community, and continued partnership with this board. And that's why I'm here today, to appeal to you to reconsider the recommendation of the reduced amount of $3,000. The original proposal was designed as a win-win-win proposal opportunity. First of all, the Maritime Museum needs a fundraiser in 2017 to complete the interior space of the building by the 2018 tourism season, and then be able to get up and running on a regular basis through the season and beyond. That is our prime goal. The second, a number two reason that this was the concept of the passport was designed, was the city of Morro Bay proclaimed October as Maritime Month last year. And California claimed October as Seafood Month. So trying to combine both the concepts in a proposed passport program over a two-weekend period during October was intended as a future event, and that catalyst is the Kelsey C. Canyon Winery will launch this year a premier wine. This year it's going to be labeled with Morro Bay Museum's Tugboat Alma. So, and that is intended to be an ongoing, each year there will be a signature wine. And it's a benefit, an ongoing benefit of 30% per bottle to the museum. The wine will be sampled in the passport. The concept is that wine would be sampled. They're getting ready for the launch in October. And we will work with the Embarcadero partners on the seafood samples or a menu item that they would be able to do. The third third is that over the two scheduled weekends, the hoteliers will have a new and tasty incentive package of wine, seafood, plus the Maritime Museum Board will open for both weekends and add that to our schedule, which is typically more on the holiday weekends. And so there will be the tourism opportunity, the seafood concept, and also along with the launch of a new series of wine. Everyone wins then. However, with the recommended funding of the $3,000 proposal, this would mean major modifications in our minds, of the board's mind, because our number one goal is raising the necessary funds to complete the interior for the tourism season. And we hope that you will consider the funding. The original request was for $7,500. So any questions, I am here to do that. Thank you.
Okay. So, I'm a bit confused because our staff report says we're here to approve a $3,000, and that's what was the recommendation from the subcommittee to fund. And what what Judy is asking is that we go back and consider doing the 7,500 that was the original. Am I understanding
that correct?
Okay.
So let me do my staff report real quick, Megan.
Okay.
And then maybe it'll help you guys kind of. So this did go out to the same subcommittee that looked at the grants last time, and I did get a couple response. So what we have left for our grants is we have a total of $14,775 still left. We've just committed $2,500 of that to an event planner, which means we have $12,275 left in our grant line item budget that we can use for grants. Doesn't mean we need to spend it all, but we do have that. So the recommendation that came back from the subcommittee was reducing it to $3,000 for maritime. And their concern was, they're concerned about, will they be able to sell 1,000 passports to tourists? And keep in mind, this is coming right before we do our yearly free passport to all the hotels. That goes in November, December. So that will go right behind it. So I guess their concern is, can they sell 1,000? That's the first question. And then they had a concern, just an overall concern about using general fund money to help build the building. And is that really the right use of general funds when this is supposed to be directly related to tourism? You know, to me, it does grow tourism, because if we can get the building up and running, it's going to better us in the long run. But that was the subcommittee's concern for the Maritime Museum asking for $7,500. We definitely do not have $7,500 to give them. We could give up to $5,000, and that's a choice that you can make as a board. Going back to, I want to talk about Grace Harbor, the historical seaport, for a quick minute. So they just naturally come down here. They've done it on their own every year. They stay at the subsea dock, and they are scheduled to bring Lady Washington down here from, they come in on Thanksgiving Day, and they'll stay until the 4th of December. And so I reached out to them and said, can we get you to stay till the 12th, so you're there for the 12 days of Christmas promotion, and can you bring the Hawaiian Chieftain down? Hawaiian Chieftain is in Stockton up the Delta until the 4th of December. So for them to do the extended stay plus bring down the Hawaiian Chieftain, they have asked for a grant. They actually were hoping for $10,000. I spoke with her on the phone. I said, we don't have it. You know, I can do $7,000, but that is really the most that we have allowed. I can tell you that those boats bring people in. They do really well. They do better when we have both boats, because then they do battle cruises. So people will get on the boat and they'll go out and they'll do battle cruises, and that's what people really like. So really having them both there is key. The Lady Washington would participate in the lighted boat parade, which is a strong thing for us. And again, it goes into that whole 12 days of Christmas era where we're trying to really grow business anyway. So that is, to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I think that's really a done deal that needs to be done. But going back to the Maritime Museum, I think you guys need to talk about it as a board and come to an agreement on what you think.
How much can I speak to this as a trustee of the Maritime Museum? I don't want to overstep my bounds, but you know, I'm passionate about it, and I don't want to overstep my bounds and speak too much about it, but
you can come down to the podium and speak as a
Since you're abstaining from that item, you would step down from the podium and there would be deliberation on that item. If you want to do the other one ahead of time, I don't know which order you want to do them in, but for the item you're abstaining from, you would step down.
As it's one item on the agenda, can it be split into two separate items?
The votes certainly can be.
I'm going to take a minute on the podium then.
I had a question. So if he abstains, do we still have quorum?
Hi, Charlie Yates. I'm a resident of Templeton and a trustee on the Maritime Museum Board. We have really worked tirelessly and re-energized a board to build a permanent museum, which will bring tourists in on an ongoing basis, not a flash in the pan, not a kite festival or a one-day event. It's a structure. And our intent never was to put smoke and mirrors. Our intent was to say, hey, we want help. We want to do a fundraiser so we can help build this building, make it reality and not just a shell. And so we felt that the request was a good one. We also know that there's a lot of work. We did take the passport idea and kind of ran with it, and using the Maritime Month and the Seafood Month and the 400 cases of wine with the Alma logo on it that Kelsey has produced for us to raise funds. So we really felt like this was a really great win-win-win for everyone. We have, as a board, we have gone back and we've retooled it and looked at it and said, hey, what can we do for $3,000 that we don't have any part of? We get $0. Mental marketing gets 100% of it. Does that help us? Well, yeah, but no. We don't have production and this is for selling 1,000 passports. It will be boots on the ground with our board going out, and it's not just tourists, it's locals. We know that, you know, this is a great winery. They would be selling the passports there, but it also gets an opportunity for our visitors, our locals, and tourists to come in and taste a great new wine, help us with our dream. So the passport would be designed to let everyone know that this purchase goes towards building our dream, which is a permanent maritime museum in Morro Bay. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
I have to say, I think that they can sell 1,000 passports for the reason that if you look at any of the other boards in town, Maritime Museum has been the board that has consistently shown they can go out and get those people, like the big dollars that they did last year with Judy at the helm. So I think that they will do it, or they'll get close to it. So
the request is $7,000 and $3,500. That's the maximum request that we're being presented, correct? So if I wanted to max... I'm going to let her tell me.
Maritime Museum is requesting $7,500.
$7,500.
The most dollars we have to give them would be
$5,275. Okay.
Sorry. Wonderful cause. Wonderful organization. Just a question on the grant funds, which I understand are general funds from the city. If we don't use those, do we get a smaller allocation next year, or do they go into some type of savings? I mean, honestly, we're in a very good economy right now, and it's probably not always going to be this good.
It's a really good question. So part of the work plan that went back to City Council for TBID was the council asked for us to look at the allocation that the city gives to tourism and if that can be reduced next year. So you're on to something there. There is a possibility that they could reduce down our funds. I will push hard to not have that happen. I mean, we are a productive group that brings tourists into town and puts money into the city with tax, and so I think we can push back on that, but that has been a request only because of the city deficit right now.
Okay, so it's not typical government funding where if you don't use it, you lose it. No, nothing like that.
Hey,
further
I
discussion,
two things.
Public comment. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Two things to address, and the first thing is that this concept came out of wanting to continue the partnership and the community effort and build a first time but an annual event, which we have that opportunity to do with the help of Kelsey C. Canyon Winery, which, by the way, Keith Kelsey is one of our trustees and one of the original trustees and has come back into our community to help build the Maritime Museum. So I want to stress that the intent is to build the best annual October event and build on that. And possibly, I don't have the exact elements to go into the passport concept, but the concept is the wine, the seafood, the Maritime Museum during the two weekends. And so that can be retooled to modify the best, because I don't want to conflict with a future passport. And it's an annual event.
Okay. I also noticed that their first weekend is when we have our concerts on the bay.
I personally love the concept of it. I think it's, and I like what Judy said about it, you know, the first annual, but that is what we offer, is great seafood and great wine in this area, and then the harbor. So I just love the concept of this becoming an annual event, and I would personally like to throw as much support toward it as we can. By support, I mean monetary support.
Okay. I did do some checking on this. We are going to have to not vote on the Maritime Museum item today. We could continue it to the next meeting if that works. But because of a lack of quorum, because we did lose Aaron along the way. So, okay. But we can certainly continue on with the other item.
I think it would help Maritime Museum know your position on if you think they should get more money than the $3,000. Can we even talk about it or not? Lori, can't even talk about it.
Okay. Because Charlie cannot participate as a member. And then
can these three have a discussion now about it?
Then we don't have a forum.
Okay. Well, that is difficult in so much as that we're running up against the wall in time and production, and knowing or not knowing could be key to whether it happens or not. Just letting you know. So let's table that for...
If we had known earlier, we could have maybe moved it up on the agenda, just for future reference.
Is there any opportunity to call a vote without me of the...
You would need to step down, which means we would not have a quorum to hear that item.
No, I'm thinking outside of this meeting, can we...
We could have a special meeting.
Okay. And would you all be opposed to a special meeting? I know you come a ways. I'm just trying to get this thing, trying to get us finished.
Do we know when Sean's back in town?
Yeah, he comes in today, I think, tonight.
Okay, we'll have to decide that.
Okay. Then let's table this for now, and let's... consider B6, the Tourism Business Improvement District Board approval of funding Grays Harbor in the amount of $7,000. Do I hear a motion or any discussion?
I make a motion to do that, Charlie. Can that suffice?
Any further discussion or public comment? Can we call for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Oh, I needed a second.
I'll second that.
Got a second here. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? Seeing none, passes. Okay, we're at the end of the agenda, and now we can call for any future agenda items. What I'd like to do is I'd like to call a future agenda item of a special meeting so that we can discuss the part two of B6, the funding for the Maritime Museum passport. And we will call for that. Anything else?
I would like to have us bring forward this discussion of the sign ordinance, specifically the hospitality portion of the sign ordinance. I would like to have the opportunity to discuss it in some sort of formal matter. I thought that Joan Solu made a number of good points that I need to step forward and say something about if it affects our industry. And as she pointed out, we're the revenue driving board. We need to be smart about our sign ordinance and how it affects the hotels. And I think that's a really important topic.
I'd also like to delve into the STAR report a little bit more. And as Joan said, we really need to drill down and see. It has just been such a different year with the storms we had in the spring, with the Highway 1 being closed. But to see our comp set going down 30% north of us, I think that, and seeing San Luis Obispo rising and Pismo rising or staying somewhat flat, I think it's I think it's something we really want to take a look at. And honestly, I am proud of getting 3% increase in this year, 3.5%. Even though it's flat, we could be in the same position as some of our North Coast friends. So with that, any other future agenda items?
I would like to get a formal update on Joan's third recommendation for where we're at or the timing for the motion for adding vacation rentals to the TOT.
That's coming back in September. Yeah.
One thing, we did have a meeting with the assistant city manager, Jennifer, and I, and Maggie met, and we are in process. So we have held meetings in regards to the vacation rentals and the RV parks coming in. With that, without any further public comment or other information, I'd like to call this meeting adjourned at 11:11. How do you like that gavel?
Good job.